You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
They could break here, Chelsea. This could be the moment. Frank Lampard for Chelsea. It's Carvalho to his right. Lampard for the title. Lampard! It's 2-0! It's Chelsea's championship! And 50 years of waiting have come to an end!
Lampard comes out to Essien!
Oh my goodness.
It's a counter-attack. It's Didier Drogba. And now get down the middle. Drogba goes!
Chelsea 2, Arsenal
0, and Didier Drogba has
drop it in the centre.
Possibly bleak as this. Drogba!
Mudder. Never ended up in McDonald's. And I haven't had a trophy in long time. Not the fault that I played for McDonald's.
All right, this is Chessy Hour. A little bit of a different opening. OPP, other people's players. Jermaine's with me. He's wondering what's going on. He didn't expect it. What are you saying, Jermaine?
Yo, what's going on? What's going on?
I'm good. Wait, do you know what, yeah? If you think about it, there's been so much. I know that podcast is almost antiquated because, like, every single day football moves on so drastically. This time last week, we recorded Chessy Hour. We hadn't signed Modric. Do you know what I'm saying? And I don't even think he was on the radar. I think everybody thought he was going to Arsenal.
I've got, like, so many tweets saying, like, I don't even think it's tweets. I think there was a few things that I said in group chats and then a couple tweets where I was responding to people with responses to, like, obviously, like, little murmurs here and there about it. And I was just like, there's no way he comes to us. He's not coming to us. We're not in for him.
Like, is that what you said? There's no way.
Yeah, I was just like in my head, it was just nothing. Like, what you're saying in terms of, I didn't even care. Like, I just was just like, in my head, I was just like, yeah, he's an Arsenal player. Cool, whatever. Like, we'll look for other guys. Do you understand? Like, it's crazy.
You know what's so funny? Because I tweeted a couple of times saying, in fact, there's a guy, I'm trying to make Mad Montana, he tweeted, and he was saying, why would we go for a player that wants to go to Arsenal? I said, look, number one, the fact that Arsenal are in for him, that means he's available to buy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
number two, if he goes to Arsenal and he slaps out Arsenal, everyone's going to say, why didn't we go in for him? Why did we let Arsenal get him? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then obviously taking other people's players is so sweet. It's so OPP is the sweetest thing. But here's the thing. And I think I've said this before. I didn't want Werner.
Yeah.
I think goals are a catfish because watching him, I just didn't rate him. And then I was doing my, because I like to get deep in the data. So I was doing my data studies. And then Werner was popping up in terms of goals. And I was thinking, you know what? Out of all of the young strikers, at least he pops. So then the data started to catfish me along. And then what made it even sweeter was that Liverpool was supposed to get him. And then, listen, it's Chelsea brand to steal players, OPP. It's Chelsea brand. So the fact that we dunked on Liverpool and all of them started to create YouTube videos and analysis reports, that made it. And I started to really, really hype that Werner signing. But it wasn't about the player. It was more about the fact that we stole him. So this time around, I want to separate it.
Yeah.
I'm excited that we dunked on Arsenal twice. Not just Modric.
Potentially Felix as well, yeah.
Felix, like, yeah. Well, Felix definitely. We dunked on him with Felix because they wanted him on loan. But we want to make that permanent. But yeah, other people's players is sweet to me. So Modric, I don't know. So I haven't seen much of him. But I'll say before you go, so far, so good. My friend just messaged me just before we started. He said that he reminds him of Dan James. He's a United supporter. I don't know if he's taking a piss for you. I haven't had the chance to probe to see whether he's taking a piss or not. But what I've seen from him so far, apart from the speed, which everyone's seen that graphic where in the Champions League, he's up there with Leao and all the other fastest players. So yeah. He can have high speeds. I remember Tuchel, when he was our manager, he was like, we don't have anyone that is fast like that, that can just breeze past players. And yeah. It was like Sterling was the only one doing accelerations in attack. And obviously it was after Dembele and some other players. But it really does look like they're trying to answer that problem by getting some of the fastest players. So I like that he's fast. Because I just sometimes with I think, you know what? I think people need to be a little bit more understanding, yeah? The thing is, I remember, so Amari, we can talk about Amari a little bit. This is what Bab said. In fact, I'm going to expose the whole group chat. Listen in. I'm going to expose him. Listen, Babs, all of you guys, you can expose me with my takes when you're on it and I'm not on. Don't do when I'm on because I'll just look off the whole thing. But I'll expose them. So before Christmas, I think it was just me in the group chat that said that I wanted Felix. It was just me. Everyone else said, nah, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make no sense. Sam was saying, so after backstab the whole group chat, Sam was saying, it's because you rate him. Not all of us rate him like you do. It's a bad deal and all of that type of stuff. I started saying, listen, this attack that we've got right now, if we go into the second half of the season, I know there's nothing to play for, but if we go into the second half of that season with that attack, number one, the fans, they need some sort of inspiration because we're losing games left, right, and center. Even the players, even if they were to go with that same attack, there's no hope because, you know what I'm saying? Like, what they done in the first half season, yes, there's plenty of things around it, but there's just, like, no hope. And I was like, if Felix comes, there's something to hope on. And obviously, I knew his quality as well. Now, I'm sure a lot more people have been brought along. But before then, Babs. Sorry, another person I'm going to have to backstab. Babs. Bab said, nah, let's just rock it with Amari and Fofana. And I was saying, see, the problem with that is, if we do, because they'll say, not Felix, just give it to Amari and Fofana rather than loan. Some of them were saying, the loan with the oblique. Like, some people didn't even know what they wanted. One minute there was like, oh, maybe I'll take him on loan, but I don't want to buy him outright. But then when there was no loan obligations, like, why are we doing a loan without any, you know, optional obligation? But Babs was saying, actually, he wanted to trust the young players. And I hear Babs in the fact that we can't just buy these young players and not see, like, you know, not have that vision of how they fit in.
Yeah, I get his angle for sure. Yeah.
I get that. But the thing is, I was saying to him is like, and this was before Christmas, by the way. So Amari hadn't played any games. I was like, the issue is, and I've seen this too many times at Chelsea, I was like, the thing is, yeah, to put rescuing our season or giving us hope on a young Amari and even Fofana, that's unfair to them. Because I've seen it too many times where a young player, people place the hope on them before they start playing. And then when they start playing and Amari, who they've seen take on players in the under-21s and just breeze into space and all that type of stuff, in the Premier League, if a couple of games don't go right, then all of a sudden, he's not ready. Loan. And I promise you, I said this Christmas before he was even playing. In the meantime, in between time, Amari starts playing the games. Exactly what I said happened.
Yeah.
And that's the danger of kind of relying on young players Because what happens is, with a Foden, for instance, at Man City, he wasn't relied on from the beginning, so he could ease his way in. A Saka at Arsenal, he wasn't relied on them from the beginning. There was that pressure, so he could ease his way in. And I think
so, yeah, sorry, I'll let you finish, Dan, but like, yeah, just to add to your point as well, I think like we've seen examples of it with people that have even got a little bit more in the bank. So like, for example, Gallagher had a great game the other day. Like he did really well. And we'll talk about the game later.
We'll talk about Gallagher later.
But he's just a small example of like, yeah, already a lot of people have just dashed him to the side already. Right. And he's somebody that we've seen
in the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, have a good season. So what you're saying is 100% like spot on in terms of like we already don't have that culture at the club in terms of the fan base,
where
they're willing to watch these kids develop and make mistakes and stuff like that. Whereas like I feel like Arsenal's fan base, sometimes they're a little bit more forgiving. I feel like with their kids when they come through, they're willing to watch them grow, stuff like that. So even when they do make mistakes, I know Arsenal haven't been in a good place lately, but even if they were, I think they would still be like that, where they would be excited to watch them kind of blossom and make mistakes and still want them to play. Whereas we're already, even when we have players that we know are, you know, they're going to take time or whatever, but like they've done something good for us, or they, like, as soon as they make a mistake, we're onto them.
Right.
And it's true, we're so different.
Much because, and I think it's because Chelsea are like, in a winning team, it's a bit easier, but we're so desperate to be better. And listen, Jermaine, we will do it at the right time, but we will give you your props about Colwell. We will. We'll do it at the right time.
Yeah, no.
So I just don't want you to kind of force it in.
He's a Brighton player now. He's a Brighton player now.
It's planned. But so to say that, I think Babs was on kind of, oh, let's rely on Fofana and Amari to change our attack. And I was saying that really and truly, we need someone to come in to raise the level and raise the bar. I said one, but Boley's not playing. So Mudrick's in two. And again, I think he's mad fast, both footed, ingenuity. I can't say I'm an expert, but his mentality too. So if this was a scouting profile, it's tick, 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 tick. Technicality's there. Mentality seems like it's there, et cetera, et cetera. I just haven't watched him that much. Obviously, I've seen that the talks that Cho, they're both around about the same age, and Cho, has scored more goals and stuff like that. And I think number one, people need to be a bit more with this cold goals thing. We need to calm down a bit. I get it because at Chelsea, we don't have that person we can rely on for goals. Everyone has to be an amazing goal scorer. But you can be a good attacker without being an amazing goal scorer. That's all I'm saying.
Definitely, yeah.
So on Mudrick, what do you think about Mudrick so far?
In terms of what I've felt like the attack's missing, I think this is what I'm most excited about with Mudrick coming in. So like, I feel like when we go up against teams sometimes, when we do play a pass in behind or something like that, I always feel like we're not going to get away from them, if you know what I mean, like the defenders. So I feel like sometimes when Kai's through, I know Kai's not slow, but he's also not like...
Blitz.
I wouldn't say he's rapid off the mark. Blitz. And I wouldn't say that he's like lightning in terms of like he's going to leave a big gap. Do you know what I mean? Like you watch your Liao's and stuff like that. As soon as they get in front of their player, you almost know that it's curtains because you're just not catching him. And I think having players like that in your team sometimes, when they're technically good and they've got a little bit of flair and stuff like that, that's a bonus. But sometimes even just being just quick, like we've all seen it with like Adama Traore, for example, like once he gets in front of you, it's very hard to kind of stop that attack happening. And I think that's what I'm most excited about at the moment. I haven't watched him, so I don't want to comment too much about his dribbling style and, you know, his goals that he's scored.
You're a lie like other platforms. Yeah. I stayed up and watched him.
Like, I think he looks like, from obviously everybody had like a cheeky look at a comp or whatever, and it's like you see sometimes like you see examples of really good balance where he can go like left or right.
Yeah.
Looks comfortable doing that, which is a bonus, I think. And a good thing is that he does look like he wants to get on the score sheet, do you know what I mean? And he has a good strike on him. Like, so those are encouraging things to see. but we don't know like what the consistency of it is like, and yeah. And yeah, especially like in a more difficult league. I know like he's done it in Champions League, yeah. But it's very easy to get up for Champions League games, yeah. And stuff like that, you know. So
you know, there's two things I want to say. Number one, it's my responsibility to know about Mudryk, and I apologize. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get some of the touchy Gooners patrons. So I'll listen back to all of the shit they were chatting, and I'll put it on the Chessy page because we need content on there as well. But I will find out more about Mudryk. Second thing, what I was going to say earlier, and I got a bit distracted. I think I went on a rant, but you have to really appreciate like a lot of players in the Premier League are fast. But the thing is, when you are a ball-carrying player, you can't just be fast. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's fast nowadays. Do you know what I'm saying? In the Premier League, everyone's fast. To gap players whilst you have the ball. Don't forget, the defender doesn't have the ball. You have to carry the ball and still be fast. To gap players, you can't just be fast. You've got to be a next level. So I think people are harsh that not everyone is superhuman. I think that people are harsh that not everyone's blitz. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you can get a blitz player, then you can. I understand what people wanted, but just not everyone's blitz. Plus, like what you said before, blitz, technical ability, awareness, ingenuity. You're not going to get that from everyone. And I'm not.
No, because I think you saw that with. I think you even saw that with Felix in the Fulham game. Like Felix isn't slow, but he's very agile and he looks very quick off the mark. But because of the way he's so intelligent with where he puts the ball and the way he manipulates the ball, like when he's got it and he's dribbling, you can like he gets in front of his players like more often than not. So,
but you know, he's got some speed. I think people underrated that, and I think
exactly, yeah, it's true.
But all right, so yeah, Arsenal fans crying, they're stalking his socials like they're a bitter ex. Talk about he's not posting. I heard Arteta and Zinchenko was calling him every day. Kind of expensive.
I read that today. That is pain.
They borrowed Eddie Nketiah and Jesus' cell phones to call him. But Mudryk, I feel like Mudryk, don't forget, like everyone's saying he wanted to go Arsenal. Arsenal came in for him, right? And obviously they made it, and obviously Arsenal are doing well right now. But Chelsea, like he's not old. He's very young. So he's grown up in an era where Chelsea have dominated. He's grown up in an era where Chelsea had Shevchenko. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm sure growing up, Chelsea for him has been the top team over Arsenal. Don't forget, I think Chelsea finished on top of Arsenal for like most of the time, like 16 times in the last.
I think a lot of people forget this. I think it's as a fan, you'll be watching it thinking, oh, but we're top of the league. Like, how can you say no? Or like, you know, how can you even think about going to Chelsea at the moment? But what people don't realize is players, like, you know, they sign like contracts, you know, that it's not, they're not just going somewhere for one season. Do you know what I mean? Like, right. They're going there for a long time. So when they look at what a club's won or how a club's moved over a certain amount of years,
yeah.
That stuff probably sticks with them more than, you know, just what you're doing in 6 months. And I'm not saying that Arsenal are just going to fall off a cliff next season. But what I'm saying is that, you know, they've watched Chelsea lift the Champions League twice. They've watched Chelsea win the Europa League twice. They've watched us win leagues, cups, like year after year after year. So I think it's very easy to just say, oh, but we're top of the league right now. But the thing is, one, you haven't won it yet. And two, like...
Early days.
Chelsea are just... We're still one of the best clubs in England over the last few years. So it's like, it's a bit silly to kind of question why he would want to come.
Yeah, and even, listen, the Shakhtar guys, apparently they believed in us more in terms of hitting them targets. You know, the extra targets. I think Arsenal put a Champions League clause in there. They was like, really? I don't know about that.
But the thing is, they're not wrong. No, we could do it this year. You never know.
Yeah, listen, when we sack a manager and we get a novice, beware of Chelsea in the Champions League. Now, to be fair, Tuchel was an novice. But the Chelsea social media was moving mad. I just had to shout the Chelsea social media out. I've never seen people be so brazen. I've never seen it. I was getting notifications on my Chelsea app. I was seeing the Instagram going mad, the Twitter going mad. It felt like we were hacked. That's how bad it was, the trolling. So shout out to you, because I like that. I like it. That's I think that's some of the American spirit. I don't think Roman would have allowed that.
It seemed very much like that, you know. I was thinking that as well. I actually thought that myself.
So I want to say this. Number one, so I was saying before we signed him, Mad Montana was saying, why would we go to for our Arsenal target? Number one, Chelsea are moving. Like, I think people think that they can predict Chelsea's moves. A lot of Chelsea's moves come out of the blue. Mm. And so it was with Felix. Meads was saying in the group chat, at the point, it looks like Man United and Arsenal are front runners. And then Meads was saying, it looks like we're not in for Felix. And I said, Chelsea aren't really loud like that. They don't want to be. Some things leak, but they don't want to be loud like that. I said, don't be surprised. And it happened. It's same with the Modric stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just because we haven't been loud doesn't mean that we're not in for him. So that's one thing. The other thing, in terms of why we want to sign a player that wants to go to Arsenal, Eden Hazard wanted to go to Arsenal. Just for you guys listening, he really wants it. His agent had to talk him down, even up to the last minute. His agent said, because we all know Eden. Eden isn't, oh, I want to be the top goal scorer. I want to collect all of these trophies. He wants to have fun. He wants to play. Yeah. That's the type of player that he was. He wanted to go to Arsenal because he grew up with Arsenal being the top club, just like Modric grew up with Chelsea being the top club. He wanted to go to Arsenal. The Wenger era thing was still in his head, Thierry Henry.
Big fan of Henry as well.
Yeah, his agent said, be serious. And he said, Chelsea always. So Modric, even if he did want to go to Arsenal, if he did all that type of stuff, that's heritage. You know what I'm saying? Usually they sign our old players and then we nab. Do you know what I'm saying? The players before them. So there's that. But I want to talk about Nick. What does it mean for Sterling? So this is so interesting because Sterling left Manchester City. And don't forget, he started like 20 games. And I think at Chelsea, we do this thing where it's like, oh, the player has had a run and therefore he's had a chance. He's had a run. He didn't do well enough in his run to justify the starts. Therefore, he's not good enough. And Sterling didn't come for a run. Sterling had like 20 starts at Man City and he just noticed, he was like, I'm not playing every single game. Since I've been like 16, I've played the majority of games. I'm not, give me a run. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not that give me a run guy, because I think at Chelsea, when people talk about our failed attackers, because listen, I'm seeing pictures of Madueke with Nonny. We'll talk about Nonny later. I'm seeing pictures of Felix. I'm seeing pictures of Modric. It was like 2-3 years ago that I was seeing pictures of Ziyech, Werner and Kai. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody hyping up. And at that point, you couldn't tell anyone that they were going to fail and they were going to be considered dead rubber, dead woods. You couldn't tell
nobody
anyone
would have been hearing it.
You couldn't tell anyone that was like, oh yeah, Barkley's gone and we finally got a creative demon in Ziyech. We finally, Tammy, we relied on him last season, but now we've got a real shooter in Werner. Do you know what I'm saying? Kai, generational, et cetera, et cetera. And look at the way they talk about all three now. And I say that to say this. The same thing can happen to these players. Because you're going to say, that can't happen to Felix. It's already happened to Felix at Atletico Madrid. It's already happened to him at Atletico Madrid. We all see his quality. Mm-hmm. I had to campaign for Felix because a lot of people, a large section, weren't having him. And I had to drop the example. My analogy was Simeone not feeling Felix. Doesn't mean he's not quality. It's the same way that Mourinho wasn't feeling KDB. The only difference in the situations was that Felix went to Atletico on a long contract for big money. So where KDB was able to force his way out and find a manager where he could play and show everybody what he can do, Felix has been stuck. And so where people say, oh, he's not scoring goals, et cetera, et cetera. He's not starting games. How is he going to score when he's not starting regularly? So the times he's starting, he's doing well. So I'm saying that to say, at Chelsea, Werner came out and talked because we've signed Nkunku as well, which I'm forgetting about our signings. We've got too many players. We'll get onto that. And we'll cook. But what I'm saying is, what Werner said was so right. Werner said, you have to be tough mentally at Chelsea because there's so much competition. So, and only now you're fighting the competition against the other players. You're fighting a competition in your head because you start to doubt yourself so much.
Especially when you start to go through those patches where, like, patches at other clubs, are not the same as patches at Chelsea. I feel like you can have 3-4 bad games at another club and it probably doesn't feel the same as when you have 3-4 bad at Chelsea. It's just like, I don't know why, because, you know, like, if everybody's competing for the same thing in terms of the league and stuff like that, in terms of the top. Yeah, is that, actually, I do know why, but in terms of what we're competing for, we're competing, like, top clubs are competing for the same thing. We're competing for the league. We're competing for the Champions League. But it's this expectation of, like, you know, as soon as you come in, be perfect. And it's like, I just don't know, like, it is difficult. And Werner did have a tough time. I think there's a lot of factors as to why players play well and how they get into form and how they, you know, create some kind of consistency. There's loads of things. We talk about it all the time, Dan, like, you know, chemistry and relationships on the pitch and all this kind of stuff, managers. But with fans, especially our fans, we just pick and choose when we want to hear it. And, you know, it's tough for players here.
It's tough. It's not, and the thing is, it's not just tough for big signings who come in with all of this pressure and maybe they're thinking the fans are going to support them, but that wears off really quickly. Because 1 minute they're supporting, they're like, pay the money. Next minute when the money's paid, they're like, you're not giving us 100 million worth of talent right away, even though it's like, rah, sign a 7-year contract. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm 20. It's supposed to be that I'm signing for 100 million because later down the line, everything's going to come together. But the thing is this, at Chelsea, what Vernon was trying to say is that there's so much competition and it's so much pressure. So it's a whole different thing. So he said to Nkunku, it was like, you can't necessarily play the same way at Leipzig as you do at Chelsea. Because like you said, away from the fans, it's just when you have so many players there, I've said this time and time again, it's difficult for a manager to keep on playing you if you've had 4 bad games. When there's 6 people on the bench.
Especially when he feels like the 6 people on the bench are all of similar quality you know, they're not far away from the guy that's playing in front of you. So it's like, I can gamble on playing this guy.
Right. And you know what? It's just, if you commit to having a squad, unless they're really young, like a Chukwuemeka, you can get away with saying to Chukwuemeka, okay, cool. You're the apprentice. This big guy, whatever, is the main guy. But when they all cost 50, 60 million, do you know what I'm saying? It's difficult. Yeah. It's difficult. And so the reason why I bring this up is because I don't know if this pattern is going to repeat itself, but we at Chelsea, and I've said it before, because we don't like the idea of failing and we've got the money to fully kit out our attack. So 6-7 players, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of the time, I think that harms us. What it means is we don't commit to a free. And when we don't commit to that free, I know a lot of people say, oh, it's because they're not good enough, et cetera, et cetera. But it's happened when we've had players that are good enough and they haven't been able to make it in because, again, there were so many talents. And the biggest example of that is when we've had KDB and Salah and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I just hope that this time around, because we've got so many players, that we at least try to create a 3 or 4, because it could be 4-2-3-1, and that means you've got four attacker. It makes sense if maybe Nonny comes in and Nonny's like, I don't know how good Nonny is, but if it's that they told Nonny, listen, right now you're going to be, you know, someone that's fighting for a place, but we really want to stick with these 4, etc, etc. And obviously there's got to be meritocracy, but within reason, we have to let these players cook. We can't just do, oh, you've had a run of 8-10 games, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather give someone a full season and then judge them off that full season. Because comparing a 10, like 15, 16 starts to someone like Son, for half of the season, he'll be bad, but in the other half, he'll be sick. But because they've played him every single game, they get to realize all of that bad stuff gets, you know, the payout comes on the second half. But for our players, they just don't get the platform for that. And so it seems like we ain't got no one, but then, do you know what I'm saying? The difference is Son has got the full amount of games to get that payoff.
I completely agree, because like I think as well, like if you are going to get these guys that are, you know, fought to grow into being these like terrific players, I think you are going to need to let them play and just get get through the bad patches and just keep playing and let them making their mistakes. And like, I'm not saying like if they're playing awful, you know, just kind of don't react and never make a change. But like what you're saying, it can't be just this thing where you just play them for a few games and as soon as they stop, you know, not as soon as they don't look like they're going to show you something, kind of like, you know, show them to the bench again, or even worse, like keep them out of the squad. Because the thing is, with this rebuild that's happening at the moment, what also needs to come with it, like the players is all fun and that and seeing the names, but what has to come with it is you know, building like consistently, because we need to have a structure in the way we're going to build the squad. Because like because it's not only these guys we've got, like you said, like we've got Carney, we've got Hutchinson, we've got all these other guys as well, and it needs to make sense in terms of what's happening year on year
right.
out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you can't just sign these players, have the young players that are there, have the Cobham graduates as well who are going to be coming up. Because the years go quick. You're looking at a Cobham graduate now, he's 17. In a couple of years, he's 19, and he's already like looking to try and work his way into maybe becoming like a squaddy in the first team and that. So you need to have like a proper plan for these attackers. Otherwise, we will, I think what you're saying is right, we'll fall into the same trap, same pattern, where the guys that we like or we want to kind of thrive and you know, be great at the club, just doesn't happen for them because it's more due to just the planning and, you know, how many appearances they get and the inconsistency in selection and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, Rashford is on fire for Man United right now. But we can see, I think it's important. Some people say, ah, this player's regressed. Do you know what I'm saying? And like, yeah, players don't always, it's not always fun and games. It's not always moving forward. Sometimes they have down periods. And I think Chelsea don't want to stick with players during the down periods. So all I'm saying is for this new bunch of players, because we can't keep on doing every single 2-3 years a reset. Some of these players are going to have down periods. And we just have to figure out, okay, cool, are we going to stick with these ones, right? But what you said was funny because I feel like there's the... listen, Roman Abramovich has blessed us and now Boehly is even taken to whole new levels, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I think it's so interesting because I think I sent in the group chat, I think I've seen the article since, but I sent in a group chat like recently talking about how, yes, it actually makes sense for Boehly to spend all this money now because when it comes down to it, we all know, like 4 or 5 years ago, players weren't default 70 million. Even 3 years ago, do you know what I'm saying? When we were buying Kai for like 70 million, everyone was like, rah. But now, every single player, when you get a quote, 65 million. And so it makes sense. If because they've got this obligation to spend money, it makes sense for them to spend the large majority of it now or to front load all the spending now because in 10 years, a £200 million player could be just a default player. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if we've got all this money to spend, the power is spending it now when at this time, the money will go furthest. So spending all these large amounts, people are like, oh, that's 65 million is too much. 65 million is nothing in the grand scheme of things because in 10 years, do you know what I'm saying? 65 million might seem like 6.5 million. And so I'm not saying that just go and spend anything, but what I'm saying, all the to-ing and fro-ing over, oh, why are we spending all this money? They've committed so much money to spend, and the bulk of that needs to be spent now because if they wait and spend it later, then that money won't go as far. So,
and I think it's just a thing of as well, Dan, like I tweeted this just like not so long ago, but like I've always felt like when they came in, I think they've made it pretty clear that they want to get the ball rolling with this project as soon as possible. And to do that, they need to kind of get the things that are needed now. They need to kind of get that out of the way. And obviously we all know like a manager having, you know, the kind of squad that he wants, that he feels like he can work with best and, you know, certain profile player, whatever it is, that is more so what needs to happen now in terms of players and stuff. So they buy all the players that they want to get. They spend on the young talent that they think are going to be, you know, like good in the future, whether they are or they're not, that's what they think. So they're gonna spend over the odds for the guys that they think they should spend over the odds for. And I feel like it makes sense to kind of do that now so that after that they can kind of get the other guys in that haven't started in the structure, which is Stewart and Joe Shields and all these other guys, And once they get them together, they can then plan on what they want to do long term with the pathway for the youngsters and all this kind of stuff. And because they've got other stuff that they want to build on as well with Chelsea. They've got stuff about the stadium. They've got stuff in terms of marketing. This isn't where it stops. They haven't just come in here to buy players. The owners have come in here to make us to go above and beyond what Roman did. And not in terms of just success, but they want to obviously make us bigger. And that was always their intention. So for me, I think getting this done now and getting this out of the way now just allows us to kind of focus on other things behind the scenes later.
Do you know where I disagree? I think one of the reasons why they're being aggressive now, and I think it's a smart play this January to spend in January, because again, it's less competitive now. If you wait until the summer, that's where everybody's got their budget. Everyone's got their summer budget. So the fact that they're, you know, bullying the market now makes sense, getting ahead of the game. I get the aggressiveness in that sense. I get the aggressiveness in the sense of let's blow the bag now in these early days, because again, every single season, even every single transfer window, the prices of players goes up and up and up. So you want to get the majority of, you know, you're going to spend the money, get the spending now. Where I think that actually, and to be fair, I think I heard them pitch this to these players, because obviously Chelsea are 10th right now. So they're saying, listen, this humongous change, of course, you're going to see it in a pitch. But really and truly, it didn't have to be like this. So when Roman Abramovich came in, they purposely let Ranieri continue because they understood that there was massive change. So they wanted there to be at least a modicum of stability. And obviously managerial stability allowed them to really kind of plan, get Robin in, get Chekin in the background, start talking to Drogba in the background, start getting Mourinho. So it wasn't rush, rush, rush. And so we went from second to first without any kind of, do you know what I'm saying? It was more of a smoother transition. I think what's happened now is a mad rocky transition. And they've made that decision because they want to be aggressive, fine. But I don't necessarily think they had to do it.
To back you on that point though as well, what I also said was that they're rectifying a big mistake that they made in the summer. They're trying to. And this is what I see. What I see is that they done what they did in the summer with Tuchel. They decided very early on that they were going to go with Tuchel. Yeah. And obviously, I'm not going to speculate on what's happened between them. Yeah. I'm just going to assume that there has been something there, because that was what the whispers were about. There was something that happened in terms of why they obviously split ways.
Yeah.
And anyway, they've split ways, but they've now got this whole summer window that they've kind of, you know, molded around Tuchel and like what Tuchel wanted and what they wanted, merged together.
Right.
And it's like, now it's just like one big mess. So that's why we've got all these rumors coming out now. Oh, Koulibaly could be gone next summer. Oh, Erling might be gone. And that's a massive, massive stain on their first year in charge of Chelsea. Right, 100%. I think it's a massive, massive stain.
It is, but this is why I say like the whole rush thing is bad, because when it comes down to it, where everyone's like, okay, they've got the manager in the place, now they got to buy a whole new squad to suit that manager. Listen, a new manager can come in and decide, this isn't my style. I need this for the style, this thing for the style. And we've just spent a whole raft of money again on, do you know what I'm saying? So this is my thing. My thing is always, I remember Matisse kind of tweeting me, goes, "Rah, you change the manager first." And I was like, when it comes down to it, like when Pep came in, then he made loads of changes because he wanted his squad. And like any manager that comes in, they've got that excuses. Oh, if things go well, this isn't my squad yet. And so that's the danger where you build the squad before you bring the manager in. Now, what I'd say is with most managers, listen, if you're a national team coach, you don't get to buy loads of players. And when it comes down to it, a lot of these, I know like a lot of Chelsea fans will say, oh, this squad is crap, this squad is crap. They always say this whenever we're doing bad. When we're doing good, the squad's amazing, when we're doing bad. But there's so many good players in our squad already before we made these signings that I don't think we should be in 10th place. And it's the same with, I understand there's loads of changes and stuff like that. And it's the same with if we buy all these players and a new manager comes in, I don't want to hear all this, oh, it's a mishmash of four different squads. As a manager in today's game, I'm sorry, you have to be prepared for that, because we're not in the era of Wenger and Alex Ferguson and et cetera, et cetera. Where obviously Pep and Klopp unless you're lucky to take over a manager that stayed there for 15, which is unlikely because most managers stay there for like 2 years, the reason why you're in a job is probably because someone's messed up, someone's fucked up, and you've come in.
You're going to have some stuff left over.
And
yeah,
so there's going to be, as part of a job as a manager, you have to be used to a mishmash of squads. So I don't want to hear about this mishmash rubbish.
To be fair to Potter, I think he's always said that as well when he's come in, though. I think he's always said, I'm trying to work with these players. The squad's good. I don't think he's ever made it a thing where he thinks the squad's not good enough.
To be fair, we are making sweeping changes anyway, and it might just be a whole new thing. But my whole point is with the squads, regardless if Potter lasts or not, the players that come in, I don't care who the manager is, I don't want to hear this, they're not good enough. I'm sorry. Yeah. Just because whatever happens at Chelsea doesn't necessarily mean these players aren't good enough. But back to Sterling, because that's kind of where we started and we talked about and all of the competition. Sterling, again, he's being linked with a number of clubs. He came in here saying, I wanted to play regularly. We've just signed Modric. Obviously, we've got Felix on loan and we've got Nkunku. What do you think about Sterling at Chelsea, Jay? Because I know you was a fan of the move.
Yeah, no, I was really excited for Sterling coming. And the thing is, initially when I was looking at Sterling coming, I always thought it was going to be under Tuchel. And I obviously, my stance with Tuchel has always been, if it was up to me, I'd still have Tuchel here right now. Nothing to do with Potter, just generally before any of that stuff happened, I was cool with Tuchel being our manager. So when Sterling come in, I did think obviously there was going to be a plan for him. I think maybe something that I've got wrong is that some of his way of playing that was a little bit like when he was younger and at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I haven't really seen as much of that as I thought I would.
Mm.
But at the same time, I don't know if he's been in the perfect kind of position to kind of show more of that. So I don't really want to make a judgment, because I feel like he's kind of had a similar time to what Kai had when he first come, where when Kai came in, he was just playing right, left, 10. He was playing everywhere. Sterling played left wing back, right wing back, left wing, right wing, up front. It's and then he's had two managers in a very short space of time, giving him completely different instructions. And it's just I don't think that's the best environment for Sterling. So I think initially I was happy with him coming, but in this setup now and by the looks of the profiles of who they're getting at the moment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It doesn't look like he's going to be a favorite in terms of starting.
But... And he came to start. So I think with Sterling, what he said coming in, if he stays true to that, the only thing is on big wages, which might mean a loan or it might make it difficult. But he said, I couldn't handle beating someone that wasn't playing, starting every single game.
Yep.
So what's interesting, what you said about Sterling, and you said it's similar to Kai, that's the experience that of most of our attackers, whether they come for 100 million or 10 million. And so what I'm saying is the environment isn't set up for attackers to win. And I think where we have to be careful as Chelsea is, the more that players come in, we're so lucky that we've got money, but the more that players come in and fail, the harder and harder it is going to be to convince players to come to play for Chelsea. So that's why I say we really need to take care of the way we design our squads.
Yep.
I was talking to Babs. Babs was saying, all right, so we've got all these players. Now I want a striker. I want Osimhen or I want Vlahovic. And I was
I'm a bit of the opposite right now, you know.
Right, but let me cook. So I think you're right, right? And I'll talk about our midfield conversation as well. So he said Osimhen or Vlahovic. And I was like, we just bought Fofana. And you was even, I remember back to the beginner, he was saying that he wanted to go with Amari and Fofana around about December. And I was like, we just bought Fofana. He goes, oh yeah, but he's more for the future if you get me. YGM. That's what he said to me. And I was like, well, listen, Vlahovic isn't old. He's 22, 23. Fofana's what? 20, 21? We still got Broja, who's just signed a 7-year contract. That's 3 strikers already. You want to bring in, you know what I'm saying?
Like, and Nkunku as well.
And Nkunku's here too. I keep on forgetting we've got so many players to predict, because I was at the Crystal Palace match. We're going to talk about Crystal Palace match. It's gone a little bit long already, but Crystal Palace match, it was so funny. I was at the stadium. Every time I turned around, it was an oh shit moment, because like, oh shit, Fofana, I forgot he plays for Chelsea. Oh shit, Sterling. You know what I'm saying? And I was just saying, it's like I had Tourette's. It was so many oh shits, because we got so many players. I counted. Currently in the first team squad, we've got about 36 players.
Yeah.
Sometimes managers come and saying, I want no more than 23 to 26 players. We have 36. And it's crazy. But we had the conversation. So that was... So yeah, basically, Babs was saying, oh, Vlahovic now, and then in the future, Fofana will be ready. I'm saying like, what are you talking about? Because bro, you know what I'm saying? Kunku, there's just too many players. And like you said, with academy players, that age thing goes quickly. 1 minute they're 19, next minute they're 22. And everybody's saying, oh, they got to do it now, or we got to sell them. Or, you know what I'm saying? So
we talked about
the midfield. You were saying we should buy 2 midfielders. And I said, we got Andre Santos already, right? We got Lewis Hall, who is a midfielder, and you count him as a midfielder, right? Forget about the two new midfielders, but who else we've got? Did we say in that thing?
So Inter Milan kid, Casa.
Oh yeah, Casadei. Yeah, Casadei. We've got Casadei too. So that's 3, and these are just even the deeper midfielders, right? So to buy those two, to buy 2 more midfielders, say a Lavia, Romeo Lavia, and a Caicedo, that's 5, right? And they're all around the same age. It's the same thing I was talking about the centre-back situation. I think it's crazy. So we got Fofana, we got Badiashile, we got Trevor Chalobah, and we got...
And then you've got... potentially next season you've got Cole.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about this. I'm just looking forward to the future. And they were like saying, yeah, that's perfect. Perfect for a back 4. 4 options. And I was like, I don't think that's perfect.
Yeah, I don't think it's perfect. They're 4 good options, but I don't think it's perfect. They're 2 different things.
Listen, I'm not even talking about their ability. I'm just talking about the fact that they're all around the same age.
Yeah.
They're all around the same age. As a young player, you just want to get regular football. Like, they mentioned to me, oh, well, look at Man City. They love that Man City example. But he started saying, they got Nathan Aki, they got Laporta, they've got Stones, etc., Akanji, all around the same age. I'm like, it's different. Nathan Aki left us at 21 when he was young because he wanted to go out there and play regularly. Like, all of these young players, none of them are going to be happy not playing regularly. We've just bought Fofana for how much money? He's going to want to play regularly. You know what I'm saying? So all of these players want to play regularly. I don't think it's even good to have these players not play regularly at the start of their career. So I just think in the age range, that's kind of why you want to keep. I know everyone wants to sell old players. That's why you want to keep old players, so that when they're on the bench, you can bring them off the bench and they've got experience. And that's why you want to have super young players, because they're going to be cool on the bench because they understand that they're young and getting experience. Then you have your 2 prime players, and that makes more sense as a kind of, do you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like there has to be planning in our squad. But it feels like everybody's going to be young, and that means that it feels like we might have a lot of people upset, and that means that we might lose talent. And whereas people think, the competition thing, we're going to keep the best ones, sometimes we lose the best ones. We keep, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's my thing. Even about like going back to the striker thing, like a lot of people have been getting onto me already, like because I keep saying, oh, you know, Kai might be able to kind of blossom with these new guys coming in and stuff, and they're like, oh, but why are you still talking about Kai? And I'm like, but you know, like Kai was still like a top talent when we bought him. Like you can't just put that aside just because he hasn't performed when you want to see him perform. Like at the end of the day, like. There's no way the whole football world judges this guy as like one of the better talents out of all these young kids. You know what I mean? And then you get to this level, and just because he's come across like first bit of adversity, yeah, like now you just dash him in the bin. Like I don't think, generally I don't think that's a way to do things. But for me, I think in this situation as well, I don't think we just need to go and buy strikers. Like we still need to explore. Right. We still need to explore what Kai can do with these guys, in my opinion. We still need to, and then with the midfield as well, like, we need to think about what we're doing carefully. Like, Casade is 20 years old already. Oh. Like, Casado, who we're linked with now, he's only 21. So people saying, oh, he's not that far away. He's still far away from the first team. He's not far away from the first team. If he goes away and has one good loan, he's going to expect to try and get into the first team. So, like, you buying two free midfielders, what does that say to him? Like, that he's going to be, like, looking to get... He is definitely thinking about the first team already, 100%. And so is Carney, and so is Lewis Hall. So, like, going out and buying... Like, I saw one guy on Twitter the other day say, oh, we need, like, something ridiculous. He said something like, we need four midfielders or three midfielders. I was like... Bro, like we can only start like two.
This is insane. I think people are mad spoiled, and only getting more spoiled with this window.
And that's what I was gonna say. This window, I think the most negative thing I'd say about this window, and about this whole ambitious spending, is just that it's making people forget that, you know, there does need to be a kind of like a sensible angle as well. Because I know, like, in the midst of all of this and the hype and all that, you can get caught up in thinking, you know, we can just buy anyone. Let's just go and buy everyone. But, like, you need to remember as well, there's players that we bought before this, very like youngsters, that a lot of people were excited about buying for a reason. And so if you was excited about them, you need to just kind of forget about the spending for a bit and focus on what these guys can do in the future as well. And you don't need to... We want to move away from the whole shiny new toy stuff. Like, I know we're doing it now, but we're doing it now in terms of, oh, all right, cool, new beginnings, whatever. But initially, I do think that Todd and the owners and the board, I think that they want to move away from that and they want to actually nurture young talent here and bring it through here. Do you know what I mean? Like, not have to go out and spend 100 million on an Enzo or 100 million on a Caicedo and that.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree with you that I think the initial spending was Tuchel influence, and I feel like now they've got Potter in, they can really kind of spend how they want. But also, obviously, they've got new technical directors and etc. Talking about Havertz, and I back you on Havertz, I think I've always said this, and I still think that Tuchel kind of... I blame Tuchel a bit on Kai. And I'm not saying that without Tuchel, everything's going to be like swimmingly and... nothing but credit, but I just think everybody understood when he came from Leverkusen that yes, he was an option to play up front, but like we bought the idea from Lampard, and Lampard stated this, it was Ziyech on the right, Werner up top, Pulisic on the left, Mount and Kai as the attacking eights with maybe Kante as the... what's the name? I don't think you said the Kante, but he definitely said it in terms of attack. That was supposed to be attack. Kai Mount was supposed to be the attacking midfielders, right? Kai into the box. And so with Kai, his goals was always been, like, the timing. One of the reasons why he said coming to Chelsea was like, yeah, Lampard used to time running into the box. And we all know that he's a threat when it comes to headers, running into the box, getting headers and volleys. And you know what I'm saying? And I think... for the amount of goals he scores, which is more like 4 and 10, do you know what I'm saying? So like 2 and 5, where if you've got a 2 and 5 striker, no one's going to rate that. But as a 2-5 midfielder, do you know what I'm saying? That joins in and scores goals. People can pallet. That's good. That's a good contribution, especially when you've got three other people that are attackers contributing. And I think where Tuchel saw, don't forget Tuchel managing in France, where he saw Kai have a good run up front as a deputy, because Leverkusen's striker, the one that looks like the guy from High School Musical, I forgot his name.
He was,
yeah, Volland, because Volland was injured and he played that run and he was scoring goals. Then he had in his mind, okay, let me get rid of Tammy so that I can try this Kai experiment up front. And look, I don't mind playing Kai up front. In fact, I wanted him to stick up front. And even to this time, I still like him up front. But I've always said, you've got to put someone that is a golden boot chaser in the team with him. And I think the game against Palace, so again, I was there. There were so many balls coming into the box, but it was just Kai in the box.
Yeah.
And when Oba came on, it was helpful for Kai because there was someone else there. And yeah, I just feel like Nkunku, hopefully, because he's not someone that has to play up front, but he's someone that gets loads of goals. I actually think Nkunku, Kai, Felix and Mudrić, in my opinion, that has so many things, because when it comes down to it, Nkunku's not tall. Do you know what I'm saying? Felix gets up for headers, but to have Kai in there that can get up for headers, but also, do you know what I'm saying, the link-up play with ballers like Felix, etc., around him, doing a lot of the dirty work and doing a lot of the running and stuff like that. Then you've got Felix, who can be the magician. Then you've got Mudrić, who is the speed man.
Yeah, you've got two speed demons now as well.
But what I'm saying is that four, to me, looks like it'll be devastating, honestly.
I agree. And this is where I was coming from as well. Like with
Just quickly, depending on if Nkunku can be that number one golden boot chasing goal getter. And he's got great finishes, but is he going to be in a position? I think with all those players, he probably could be, but is he going to be in a position where he gets loads of chances to shoot? So if I'm cutting you, what was you going to say?
No, sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, no, I completely agree. And the thing is, I think it will all depend on as well what you make clear to the player when he comes in. So if Nkunku comes in and Potter says to him, "You're my striker," or he says to Kai, like, you know, he says to both of them, like, "You two are the guys that I'm looking at to get goals, but obviously, Nkunku, you're my striker." Like, as long as he knows that and that's his role and he understands that, and it's not this thing where he plays here, he plays there, he plays everywhere kind of thing, then I agree. I think that can work, because then you've got Nkunku who's just looking to be the top goal scorer, and then you've got Kai who will just chip in naturally how he does. Yeah. And that can work. And the thing is, if you manage to get somebody like a Felix on a permanent, I even think that can be a bonus, because we saw the other day when he was playing, he looks hungry as well for goals. Like, he will shoot from wherever. As soon as he sees an opportunity, he'll shoot.
He gets goals. I feel like people don't understand, like, he's a goal getter. Like, when it comes out, I wouldn't be surprised if he will get the second amount of goals, because
they started calling him a false nine at Benfica at one point, because he was like comfy up there.
Even false nine, he was playing striker, and that he's a shooter. Like, he's got a hard shot on him, a proper hard shot without much backlift. Like, he, like, from far, from near, even headers, he's got a leap on him for headers. So he's not someone that just drops deeps and feeds. He's someone that can get goals as well. And Nkunku gets goals as well. A lot of people are saying this, oh, Chelsea, we just need a natural nine. I can't remember the guy's name, the one that's friends with Haaland's dad, Jan Fjortoft or whatever his name is.
Oh, I know you're talking about. Yeah, from he's on ESPN a lot.
chatting shit saying, oh, Chelsea, again, not buying the number nine. And I was like, what are you talking about? Look, first and foremost, what did we do last season? We bought Lukaku last season. What did we do this season? We bought Aubameyang. Everyone's saying, oh, Aubameyang's not a number nine like that. Do you know what I'm saying? But before that, the reason why we had to buy Lukaku is because we got rid of Giroud and Tammy. So this idea that we haven't had strikers is false.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's a lie. I get why everybody's kind of in this idea that Chelsea don't like and don't play like strikers. But because there has been a thing where the strikers have failed. And so that means that other players have had to come in. But it's not like we haven't bought strikers. We've always had strikers. But I think it's more
what you're saying, though, about it's not necessarily just a position. It's about what that player's role is, like, and the kind of player he is up there when he's in the box and stuff like that. And I think it's mainly you need a guy that's going to be your golden boot chaser. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be a number nine. Like
well, to be fair, number nine to me doesn't necessarily mean, but I agree, golden boot chaser, Salah is Liverpool's golden boot chaser.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not, do you know what I'm saying? And that's what striker is literally the person who likes to strike the ball. Felix likes to strike the ball. Like, he's got this, a little bit of the striker in him, but I call it golden boot chaser because I'm specific. For a top club, you want someone to compete for the golden boot. And I think with Nkunku, I don't think he has to play as the one that's up top. He likes to kind of come deep. And I just think that front four with Mudryk left, people say, oh my God, you're trying to force Felix, right? Listen, you've just jumped on the Felix train now. I've seen Felix for a long while, so don't even try to talk to me about Felix. But I just think it can be very fluid. I know people don't like that word up there, but I like that for, obviously, a lot of people are going to be thinking, where's Mount? You know, I don't think we've got time to cover that. We need to get to the Crystal Palace game. So yeah. I was there. My insights from the game, Badiashile started ropey, but then he got confident and he looked good. I don't like the thing where people like to, a player does well, so let's dunk on other players. I think people, Cucurella's a weird one because Lewis Hall played that game, and I know everybody likes to champion academy players, they can do no wrong, and all of these bought players, 60 million you're having a laugh type players, you want to shit on. But for me, Cucurella not playing was a weird one. Obviously, Koulibaly came off the bench rather than Cucurella coming on. I think Lewis Hall, whilst a great dribbler, so poor defensively. And I think they were exposing that. And that was one of the places that they could have got in. But I think going forward and dribbling, great. We have to talk about how Gallagher played in the pivot. And people said, you can't play Gallagher in a pivot. And like you mentioned at the top of the pot, Gallagher was insane. I think he was amazing. And even me, I was a bit rattled. Me, I was thinking, maybe I was wrong. Maybe Gallagher doesn't have the quality. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's just, I get how difficult he is. We've talked about playing for Chelsea is difficult because there's just so many numbers and there's so much pressure and people are calling for this person to come out so you can come in. But I think he was amazing.
Yeah. I agree. I echo most of what you said there. Like, I think it's interesting because I've mentioned before, like, Potter just seems to have, like, these kind of good patches with midfielders, man. Like, he really does. And I think if he is working with Gallagher at the moment, I wouldn't be surprised, like, in a few weeks or a few months' time, Gallagher looks a completely different player to what he did, like, beginning of the season. Because it's, I think... Go on.
I was going to say, it's what you said in terms of people kind of at the beginning of the season was kind of trying to say send him out on loan. He was linked with a move. He's actually linked right now with a move to Palace. Yeah. And I was like, do you know what? I think we should sell him. And I think the reason why I was saying that is because I don't think the Chelsea fans, the kind of love for him was there to kind of nurture that. Like, we like to talk as fans about being a club that wants young players, but we don't like to back them. And just at Palace, he had the support, the consistency, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, you know what? Maybe go back. But I don't know if he's got that support from Potter. Maybe Potter really has. And I think maybe taking him out of the lights and then reintroducing him helped.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I actually do think he's working behind the scenes. And Meads messaged me as well. And he was like, oh, like Gallagher looks good. And I was like, you know what? Because Meads was like saying how he's a player that's probably going to need to get loads of playing time though, like to be able to develop in the way he wants to develop. And it's what you're saying about even with Palace, like not only is he getting the game time, but he's also got that confidence because of the love that he's got from the fans, and it plays a massive part. Like it really does. Like that kind of stuff there, when you as a player know that the fans have got your back like that. It plays a massive part in how comfortable you feel on the pitch, how comfortable you feel going out there week in, week out. Even when you make a mistake, if you know that you make a mistake, but the fans are going to back you, even that changes your mood as a player. Because it can be the opposite, where I feel like right now, somebody like Kai Havertz, as soon as he misses a chance,
everyone's
probably quite hard mentally for him to get going again. But he seems quite strong mentally, to be honest.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so...
Even if you look at Carney, like we talked about Amari before, as soon like these people they try and why isn't Carney starting? Carney starting. He had a quiet debut, all of a sudden it's quiet. It was
it's so odd. And he struggled to get into the Palace game as well. And like we said, didn't it? Like that's the thing. You're either down for the kids to play and make mistakes and have quiet games and rough patches, or you're not. And this is the big issue that I think fans have in it. Like they want a youngster to start all of a sudden, and then it's like he has a rough patch and he's not good enough. Gallagher's not good enough. Amari Hutchinson needs a loan. Carney might need a loan. This, that. It's like you can't be judging things that quickly. It just doesn't make sense. So yeah. Even with Lewis Hall, like you said, I think you're spot on about defensively. I think him being naturally a midfielder, him being a natural midfielder, I think is something that he's probably gonna start looking at soon. I think in terms of he's at this level now, but while he's playing, obviously he's gonna be happy. But I think eventually he will probably want to play in midfield, and that's gonna come into it. But with the young players in general, I think Gallagher, he had a good game. I'd like to see, like, you know, him develop a little bit more, and hopefully he does get to the level where, I don't know, maybe all these transfers don't affect him. Do you know
I still like him to be successful at Chelsea. I just think I need to see the dust settle. We've got so many players. I need to understand.
Too much happening.
I just don't understand. It's like right now, I get it. We're in the middle of a transfer window. It feels like more players are coming in. I don't even know if we've got the time to get players out. Like there are squad rules, by the way. Not all of them can be in the Champions League squad, and I don't understand how it's all going to work. But I'm looking forward to see how it's going to work. But Kai Havertz scores the goal. He had some other chances. Like I think he's like what you said mentally. I think he's quite strong. I think there was a chance as well where Mount kind of crossed it. He could have got his second. I think that the kind of cross was hard. It was like. At a high velocity the cross came in, but I think the goal was needed because right now he's judged as a striker, and as a striker you probably need to be scoring like at least one in two minimum, really and truly, for a top club, for a golden boot chaser 2 and 3, which I just don't think he's that type of player. But I think like that's why it's hard for Kai, because he can't live up. I think attacking midfielders in this day of age, it's so difficult for them. So I hear it about Mount, I hear it about Kai, Ruben Loftus-Cheek, all the attacking midfielders. Because if you're attacking midfielder, by nature, you're a hybrid player. Attack midfield, it's two different, do you know what I'm saying? It's attacking midfielder. It's a hybrid type thing. And whereas in the past, everyone played 4-4-2, So everybody knew where the attacking midfielder played. If you were attacking midfielder time and you was playing in the 4-4-2 era, if you was going to play in one of the box-to-box positions where one of them was the more attacking one, or you was going to be that Bergkamp just behind the striker. So everybody knew if you was like a goal-scoring attacking midfielder, you're going to be that Bergkamp. If you're going to be like that high-intensity attacking midfielder, you're going to be the box-to-box. And then the 4-3-3 came along, and then the attacking midfielder found a home mostly at the left central midfield or the right central midfield position. You was going to be that, you know, Lampard was there, then you had these two kind of worker, one in the pivot and one as the, you know, and the same with Gerrard and all that type of stuff. You did have some people, some attacking midfielders like a Ronaldinho find his home on a wing, Iniesta at first found his home in a wing, etc. But then there was 4-2-3-1, you find your attacking midfielders as the number 10. Sometimes like a Mata, you'll find him on a wing, etc., etc. But I feel like 3-4-3, obviously the 2 tens. I feel like before it was an era, and everyone copied each other. Everyone played the same formation, so all the attacking midfielders knew where it was going to play. But now in this era, it's like everyone's playing different formations, and so as an attacking midfielder, you can play anywhere, and you will get to be played anywhere, because even at the same team, you're not necessarily going to be playing the same formation. The ones that are lucky are the attacking midfielders that play in a team where they play a 4-3-3 all the time. So KDB, 4-3-3 all the time. He's the attacking midfielder. He's got two kind of more functional midfielders that do the dirty work for him. He's fine. He's stable. He's fine. Odegaard right now at Arsenal. He's fine. He's stable. He's fine. 4-3-3. He's the type of player he's got. Do you know what I'm saying? Those players, they've got a home stable. A player like Pogba at Manchester United, attacking midfielder, there's a hole here. Oh, you do it because you're talented enough to do the build-up. Do you know what I'm saying? Kai Havertz, you play up front because we need someone to play up front, et cetera, et cetera. And so, like, when we was buying Felix, everyone was like, oh, no, not another player who doesn't have position. People are scared. But what they're scared of, they're not scared. What they don't realize, what they're scared of players, these attacking midfielders getting misused because they get played here, there, everywhere. They don't get a chance to settle and then they get called a flop. That's why Pogba was called a flop. That's why, you know, obviously, like even Mount, people say, oh, I don't know what position. All these people that say they haven't got position, they're just attacking midfielders and they get used in loads of different positions because they're talented and they can play loads of different positions, but it does harm their success. So when everyone's saying, oh, we shouldn't buy Felix, he hasn't got position, etc., I get where the fear is coming from. But what the real fear is that the manager isn't going to place them in a place, like you said before, Jermaine, where it's like these guys need a home and need to be in one position. We talked about Sterling. When Tuchel came in, Tuchel gave Sterling that one position and he let him cook.
He looked good.
As soon as Potter came in and started playing here, there and everywhere, he faced the same kind of fate that a lot of Chelsea attackers face. And so that's what I'm worried about with the new lot. But like Havertz has faced it, played here and there and everywhere. A lot of these players, but I think that's the caveat. That's the warning.
This has been one of his better, like in terms of consistency, in terms of like trying to stay in the same position though, this has been one of the better seasons. Like I know it's not been ideal. It's not been ideal in terms of like everything that's been happening. But
some have been striker, some have been 10. It hasn't been. Yeah. I still think it's, even though he's played a lot more consistently, I still feel like the positions hasn't been settled.
Yeah, no, facts. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's not been settled yet, but it's almost like we might be getting there. Maybe. I feel like I'm looking at where Potter's playing him, and a lot of the time, I think I need to check, but I'm pretty sure the last few games he's definitely played up front. So I don't know if Potter maybe after coming back from World Cup has kind of like just put a hat on it and said, I'm going with Kai now. Because that's what it looks like to me. It looks like he's made his decision and Kai is his striker.
And I think that's important. I think like when, like obviously Tuchel brought Aubameyang in and I feel sorry for all of the Tuchel signings because they came in for Tuchel.
Yeah.
But as soon as Tuchel left, it's like, yeah, I get Potter needs to make a decision on who's going to trust. And for those guys, they're senior guys. So if Potter's not going to play them regularly, I think they need to leave personally. But
it's like, a bold move, like doing it, like because I feel like he's kind of made it clear with Aubameyang and this.
Yeah, which is cool. I think Aubameyang wants to go back, and I don't. I feel like with that, I'm not really worried about that situation because that was a temporary thing anyway. He didn't get a long contract, but for ones like Sterling, I feel bad for him because he really thought that he was going to have a home here. And listen, he might continue, but I just feel like there's a lot of an influx of talent. And that's why when you say that you think Kai's got a place, it's difficult for him to sustain a place with the influx of talent. But I don't want to miss it. So in terms of the Palace game, Kepa made some saves. I don't know. I think the only other thing I want to mention is, again, in terms of creation at that point, obviously Felix against Fulham, we started to see the game differently. Creation was coming through ingenuity. I think in that game, it was more coming through into like balls into the box. Yeah, and Jolin had Kai in the box. So I think that's something to watch out for because without Felix again, I know Carney was there supposed to be provided ingenuity, but I think we lacked proper ingenuity again.
Bro,
but
you know we lacked bodies in the box as well? Because I think the only player I can think of that was backing Kai when Kai didn't make it was Horn coming from left back.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, we definitely need to do better there. Cause...
All right. So talk to me about Colwell. Because, listen, you said you were mocked. I think people mocked you because you were ready to put him straight away. And you was like, listen, people aren't going to say he's ready. But you kind of mentioned Reece James. Again, people said that he wasn't ready. Then he came in as ready. And so now you deserve your dues because other people are trying to claim it. But it was you, Jermaine. You was the champion in Colwell. Am I lying?
Yeah, nah. I said he should be in the starting lineup, bro, from the beginning. And I was pretty annoyed. I remember like how annoyed I was when I found out he was going Brighton because of the whole Cucurella deal. I think like at the time I was still maybe not as down because I thought Cucurella coming in was still like a decent signing at the time. And I don't think he's completely done at Chelsea, Cucurella. I think he can do well. But in terms of with Colwell, that whole thing, it was just like mixed feeling because I knew, I was just so confident in it that Colwell was going to be good. And like I'd watched him a few games at Huddersfield that season, more than a few games, to be fair. I think the second half of the season, I was watching him quite a lot. And everything that he's doing now for Brighton, he was doing that then. Do you know what I mean? He was playing in a free. He was progressing the ball the way he does. He looked so calm in terms of the way he defends players with pace and stuff like that. Like just everything about him just screamed like top talent. Do you know what I mean? And then to see him doing good now, maybe this is what was needed as well. Like maybe this is the way it should have gone, because now that people have seen how good he is,
right,
they can, like, you know, they can be more confident about when he comes back. The only problem is now, though, that you have is that where he hasn't got these minutes at Chelsea, he's going to be thinking, like, you know, how much do they really believe in me, innit? Because
right,
in Man City, you know, we just watched them against Spurs, like, struggle a little bit at the back.
Bayern Munich
are interested. His boys over there in Musiala, like, let's not forget they played together when they were younger. So it's like, you know, it's not going to be easy to get him to sign that contract. Like, yeah. I know Todd Bowley's giving out big contracts and like long-term contracts, good stability.
And people are copying him. Like, Man United's trying to sign Garnacho to a 7-year. But now everybody's copying the model.
Exactly. So I think, you know, Man City or Bayern Munich are going to try and give him a 9-year contract or something. And it's going to be long. So, yeah. Now, I think we got a good chance of making him stay, to be fair. I think the project looks exciting enough.
Yeah.
But if he was to go, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But it's good to. But focusing on the positives, I think it's just good to see that we have got someone there. But by the end of the season, we could have a problem because Benoit, he's looking very good.
So this is what I'm saying. And look, I think so Arsenal are an example. They have Ben White. They have Gabriel, then they have, who is the other one that they have?
Saliba,
exactly. And obviously, having three, like, they're all young, do you know what I'm saying? Having three centre-backs that are young, that I expect to play, they've made it work with Ben White playing right-back. And I think Chelsea, similarly, I remember at one point we must have had Ivanovic, Alex, John Terry.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then again, Ivanovic, who came as a centre-back, but that could also play right-back. Ivanovic became a right-back, do you know what I'm saying? And so, obviously, we saw Trevor play Crystal Palace as a right-back. But it is difficult. I do want to watch this situation where all of these young centre-backs are the same age. No young, like, Colwell doesn't want to have fast minutes. He wants to play regularly. Badia Shile wouldn't want to have it. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's interesting. They've signed now anyway. And listen, they've signed like death row contracts as well. So it's going to be difficult for them to have choices. FFP, who gives a fuck about FFP? complain all you want. Do the maths all you want. I don't care. I'm down with OPP. I'm down with FFP. Jermaine, anything to say before we quit?
Nah, man. Just hopefully we get a couple more in before the window closes, isn't it?
Trust me, I'm spot. I need a new transfer every 2 or 3 days, bro. All right, yo, we'll end it there. Thank you, Jermaine. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends if you like it. If you don't, shut the fuck up. I'm joking. All right, nice one, guys.
All right, same.
He done it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club. European champions. They've beaten Bayern in their own backyard. They found the Holy Grail. After adventure, fraught with danger. And Drogba may never play for Chelsea again. He will never be forgotten. He's in.
Just came Hazard. Trying to find a way through. Oh, that is magnificent. Magical from Eden Hazard.
May just
bring it up by Hazard. Absolutely phenomenal.
That's more like Kante. They do threads on Twitter and ranting, doing the most. True say that money is power, so when you get money, keep quiet and ghost. Ghost. I remember when I shot my shot, but I didn't have guap, so I hit the post. But next time it's a golden goal. And it...
Sports Social.
Sports Social Podcast Network.